see all of you here. We'll be in Mark, I mean, 1 John, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1, we'll begin looking at Philip tonight. Thank you, Brother Ray. We'll continue looking at the apostles and enjoying learning about them and their character, their background, as much information as we can get out of the scriptures to help us more understand folks that the Lord called. John chapter 1, first chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John, verse 43. Scripture says there, and the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, and whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Look in Acts chapter number 8, Acts chapter number 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And we'll read down to verse 8, Acts chapter number 8, verse 4. The Bible says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many. I believe somebody tried to open that door, Brother Hector. Came out many, back in verse number 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lame and healed, and there was great joy in the city. Now we notice that Philip in John chapter 1 verse 44 was from the same town as Andrew and Peter. He lived in Bethsaida of Galilee, and I find that in 1 John chapter 44. 1 John chapter 1, verse 44. But we know very little else about his background. He's never mentioned as a fisherman in any of the scriptures as you look and see. But you do notice as you study the scriptures that he is very careful, very cautious. His personality is much different than you would say of Peter, of course. So we're not sure of his occupation. I don't believe personally he was a fisherman, but he must have did some kind of business. Maybe he purchased fish from Peter. These are all guesses here because Scripture doesn't say exactly what his occupation was. But, somehow or another he knew the fishermen, whether it was by personal trade. Maybe he was a boat mechanic, a car, of some sort. I don't know. Maybe they bought their wares from him. But anyway, he was acquainted with them, and so we don't know much about his occupation other than he was from Bethsaida there. But like many other disciples, Philip believed in what he could see. He relied on personal experiences. As you go through the Gospels of John, and you look at it and get a glimpse of his character through the Gospel of John, you'll notice that he had a struggle between faith, walking by faith, believing in faith, and not as much in that which he could see. You know, he walked a lot by sight. Now, listen, it's not to knock him. Many people use logic and reason alone when they approach God's Word. If it's making, it makes sense logically, if it makes sense, you know, reasonable sense to us, then we tend to accept that. And the others sometimes, matter of fact, many times people that only receive it by what they can really see in action, many times they become biblical critics. They become critical of God and critical of others that walk by faith. And so I'm glad that Philip did not get that away. Philip was not at all that away. Now, when you look at his life and you begin to see how things work through his life and his struggle with faith, we need to realize that we don't have all the answers. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many times you read the Bible through. We don't have all the answers. If we get to the point where we have all of the answers throughout Scripture, we can comprehend and understand every aspect and thought of God, then it comes to a point that we really don't need God. We really don't need the Bible because we know it. So, well, preacher, that is not true because I'm very, very apt and capable, and I'm very discerning when it comes to Scripture. Well, then you have to say God is false when he says my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your ways. It's that simple. You never get to the point where you know everything. So be careful that we do not begin to knock those who in the beginning of their walk with the Lord, it has to be logical. It has to be sensible. It has to make perfect sense to them. You know, God, listen, God will work through his word, and it's not our job to prove God and Scripture to be truth. It's our job to believe it, to live it, because it is powerful on its own. It is powerful. Go if you would, over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so when you notice Philip, when he approaches Nathanael, as he begins to talk with Nathanael there, he did not try to force understanding, did not try to wring understanding into the conversation and make Philip see things his way. He said to Philip, what did Philip say to Nathanael? "Come and see for yourself." Come and see. So we got to get to the point where we understand that we have to leave doors open down the road for others to come behind us and water, and others to come down and plant. I was talking to a young man today, and the conversation went along, he said, "I do not want to be thumped by the Bible," because I've had that in the past. So he said, "Please don't do that to me, because I'll cut you off." There's been folks that's cut people off because that's all we do is thump the Bible. You know what it becomes? It becomes vain babbling. If they're not going to listen to the grace of God and the explanations you have through Scripture, dear friend, you've got to get to the point where you live it out in front of them, because then you become a living epistle. Their ears may be closed, but when they see Christ in you real, they see Christ in you with power in your own life. Many times, dear friends, simply your testimony of what God's done for you. Because see, they got to see it logically. I don't know about you. Maybe it was with you, dear friend. But when I got saved, I did not really comprehend all that salvation was at that moment. I knew that Christ died for a sinner. I knew I put faith and trust in Him. And I don't know how much faith. I don't know that if I had a gallon of faith or two tablespoons of faith. I do know this, that Christ said if I had faith of a grain of mustard seed. I don't know the measure of faith. I do know that I had faith that was given to me by God. And I put faith and trust in Him to save my soul. He made me a new creature, complete in God, but not perfect. And I didn't understand all. And I'll tell you, as time has gone by, there's still things about the cross of Calvary that I cannot comprehend. There's still things about being and having eternal life that I do not understand. So I cannot get all upset with someone. Philip didn't get all mad with Nathanael. He said, listen, come and see. A lot of times, dear friend, people want to see Christ real in our lives because they struggle with these things. Philip actually struggled with them. He struggled with the same thing. And Jesus began to slowly teach and began to work with Peter, with Philip as he studied, walked through the life of this journey with Christ with him. Remember that God will work through His Word regardless if we can convey it. He said, my Word will not come back void. Many times when we share Scripture, we don't comprehend the entirety of the Scripture. Don't be afraid to plant that seed. Let God use the Scripture. Let God get in there and bring a work of life into other people's lives because of your testimony. Don't try to convince them. Say, come and see the Christ that's changed me and tell them your testimony. Spend time with it. You know, I've noticed this about some folks. Some folks begin to doubting their salvation because it wasn't a great emotional experience. Emotions has nothing to do with salvation, dear friend. I tell you, emotions will let you down. We are emotional creatures. Listen, I know that I know when I got saved. I know who was with me. I know the very time that but the words that Pastor Shev said to me in my ear and the scriptures that he showed me verse by verse, chapter by chapter, I know he showed me from the Bible the plan of salvation. And I, dear friend, I'm going to tell you this: I can't remember the prayer I prayed. I'm not depending my salvation on a prayer. I'm not depending my salvation on remembering what someone said to me at that time. I'm settled on my salvation because of what God says in His Word. Don't start letting yourself doubt because you can't logically understand your salvation. We got to get to the point. God said it. I'm going to believe it. And it's settled whether I believe it or not. This is an amazing thing for me, Brother Hector, is that whenever I get to a point and I'm looking at Scripture and I'm weighing it out. I'm weighing out the spiritual aspect of it. I'm weighing out the flesh. And what I tell you, the flesh is strong. The flesh is, it's carnal. The flesh has desires. And I begin to weigh them things out. And I look at it and I say, but God said it. And I come to the point that whether I believe it or whether I don't, it doesn't change God's Word. The only thing that changes, I'm going to be accountable for what I do with it. For what other man, I'm telling you, Philip said, listen, I come and see the Messiah. We do know that he's well educated in Scripture. Go back to 1 John. 1 John, whatever his job was, maybe it was just a reader, of Scripture. I'm sure John chapter 1, I'm sure that if he would have been a scribe of some sort, that God would have put that out there. I don't know, but we do know that he's very educated in Scripture, because when you look there, when he comes to Nathanael in Gospel of John chapter 1, And he approaches Nathanael in verse 45. He says, Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he is very understandable of Scripture. This is a man that that has some biblical knowledge about him. So he was able to converse with Nathanael from the Old Testament. Not only that, he was able in Acts to converse and to bring understanding and bring enlightenment to the Ethiopian eunuch from Scripture. So we know that he was very studious of Scripture. And that's important, you know, study to show yourself approved unto God, because your opinion, my opinion, Brother Jim's opinion, Brother Bernie's, Brother Lee, Brother David, all of our opinions amount up to nothing. The only thing that matters is what the Bible says, what Scripture says, and we need to be ready at a moment's notice to offer it. He went to Nathanael and said, Nathanael, look, from Moses, the law, from the prophets, and then the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, do you understand what you read there? And he was in the place of Isaiah. And he said, how can I unless some man sow us? And he didn't run off and get Nathanael. He didn't run off and get Peter, James, or John. He just, from that point, the Scripture says in the book of Acts, he began to preach Jesus. Listen, he struggled. He had a lot of struggle with faith and reality and logic and these things. Here's another example. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you'll remember the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6. And verse number 5, John chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says in John 6, 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude cometh unto him, this is what he says, he saith unto Philip, now Philip's having these struggles with faith, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said, listen what it says, to prove him. For he himself, Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he knew what he would do. Now look at verse number 7. Here goes logic. Here goes reasoning. Philip begins to calculate in his mind. And look at verse 7. Philip answered him, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. That was 200 days of work. 200 days, that's logic. I mean, we look at something, we say, man, we're going to get into, you know, some kind of like, for instance, okay, here's a good one. Scripture day's coming up in the end of January. And we start asking, pray, ask God, what do you have you do? What kind of offering would you give toward helping the Scripture press out? An extra offering above and beyond. What would you do? With the Scriptures there, and as that would happen, and those things, you begin to look at it, you begin to add up in your mind, you begin to look at the checkbook. You don't even begin to talk to God first. You logically begin to look at what you have in your pocket, and this is what Philip did. Okay, Lord, listen. You've done sent them all down in companies, and it looks like there's about 5,000 out there. Man, Lord, if we work 200 days. We couldn't buy enough bread with them. See, the Lord did this to prove Philip, because the Lord knew what he was going to do. We know the story. Well, so, hey, it's all right, Philip. Bring me that there. And he began, Andrew, bring me that. And he began to break, and he began to scatter it out. The Lord knew. This was about Philip. This was to strengthen his faith. He said, well, that wouldn't have happened to me. Oh, we do it. We trust God with eternal life. When you get saved, dear friend, you're trusting God with eternal life. And it's absolute. Trusting. He says it. I believe it. It's so. Everlasting life is what He promises. It's eternal life. We trust Him with that. But how many times are we afraid to share the gospel with unsaved people? You know what we do, Eric? Logically. Man, they might not receive this well. I don't have the words to say. We begin to reason it out in our head. Do we not? Brother Paul, I've done it. I'm standing here in front of you as pastor. I've done it. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. But whenever God prompts my heart to do something like witness to somebody sometimes, it's like, oh Lord, they're going to think I'm a wacko. And I begin to reason and logic. This is all he did. Why do you think the Lord prompts us? He knows what he can do. He done saved you. He knows he can save. He has the power to save. Here's another one. A dear friend, many times, you know, like we have a mission trip coming up, you know, in March coming up. We're going down to Honduras again. And many times, you know, you've been praying, Lord, use me, help me out. I'd like to get involved with this. And then, we have an opportunity like the mission trip coming up. And you say, man, I don't have enough money for that. And we begin to reason our way out of service. Logic. So don't get all upset at Peter, at Philip here in this situation. Don't get cross-eyed at him. Well, I wouldn't have done that. We do it. In many areas of our life. Many areas of our life. We're afraid to commit to serve the Lord with our lives. For fear what somebody might say, or you know how much time it would take, and so forth and so on. You remember a portion of passage of Scripture in John chapter 12 and verse 20. There was some Greeks that approached Philip there, and Philip had some uncertainty. He was cautious. He was uncertain. He had to see the whole story. Isn't it amazing to us that as we look at the apostles, even for me it is, maybe you haven't noticed this, but the different characteristics of the apostles, some laid back, some gung-ho, some just want to take it easy, but there's no squabbling here. I often wonder, I begin to think about that today. Why was there no squabbling in amongst the other than who's going to sit on the left and who's going to sit on the right? You know, about the only squabble they had there, but there was no squabble. They allowed themselves to compliment one another. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. We need some Peters in amongst us that are willing to go headlong and just go. Because us caution people just sit around and get nothing done. And we just sit and wait. We just sit and wait, sit and wait, sit and wait. And we get nothing accomplished for the Lord. So we need some Peters amongst us. We need some Phillips. We need some Johns. We need, and we should not be bothered by others' characteristics or their character. We should allow ourselves, because doesn't the Bible say that He fitly frames us together? We need each other. To be honest with you, dear friend, if somebody didn't kick me around in my tail sometimes, I wouldn't get up and do much for the Lord. You got to have somebody willing to run. Well, who was that? John was willing to run to the tomb, but John wasn't going in, did he? Peter just, he couldn't keep up with him, but boy, when he got there to the tomb, he just blessed it on up in the tomb. Philip, Lord, we worked 200 days. We couldn't feed all these folks. These Greeks come, they said, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? He's very cautious. Perhaps he remembered where the Lord had told him, listen, don't go to the Gentiles right now. I don't know what his reason was. And he took them to Andrew. And Andrew said, hey, I tell you what, I don't know what's going on. I'm a go-between and I'm taking them to the Lord. Different characters, different personalities. Different. I mean, it's amazing when you look at the personality of the apostles. You look at the personalities of our church. We need each other. We're not against each other. This isn't a fight to see who gets the first place, dear friend. Christ has first. He's the head. I'm just thankful, dear friend, if He'll let me be the pinky toe. He's worthy. Of all. I mean worthy of all. Philip said, wow, Well, you know, I don't know about taking these Greeks over there, Andrew. What are we going to do? Andrew said, let's go. Let's go. We need each other. The apostles needed each other. They needed prompting, needed help. They needed to understand that it was not a battle within, but a striving together for the cause of Christ. John chapter 14, real quick, we're going to be done. Got to get these here to get the bus running. I think I got started a little late. John chapter 14, the kids must took up a whole bunch of offering. They must got about $400 in that can tonight, guys. John chapter, what did I told you, 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. And let's just read 4 through 11 and just get on out of here with that. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Well, we love this verse. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto the Lord, show us the Father. You see the struggle with faith? Show us the Father. Philip had a struggle, dear friend. Had a struggle with faith. So don't feel like you're all alone. If you're struggling in your faith, it's okay. Christ will strengthen you. You stick with God. You get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get around godly people. You get around Christians that are trying to do something for the Lord, trying to be faithful. Not somebody just sitting around being a spectator. Get around somebody that's involved, wanting to see something done, and encourage one another to go on so that you can know what you believe. Know without a certainty God is in charge of all this. And you allow yourself to say, well, Philip said, show us the Father. And it suffices. Listen to what verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not unto of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the work, the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Even Jesus said exactly what Philip said to Nathanael. Come and see. Come, Philip, how long have I been with you? Okay, if you don't believe my words, Philip, what was he talking about the words? What had Jesus done around him? Lame walk, blind seen, dead raised. Believe the works. That's got to be God. Only God could do it. Believe the works. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. How do I say this without being crude? Get it that way, that way, this way. Y'all ever talk to yourself? It's bad when you're up here and it's recorded. Because I know it ain't getting off the internet once it's on there. Walk walks and talk talks, right? Y'all know that saying? Which walks the most? The way you walk. The way you walk. People talk a big game. They talk and they talk and they talk and they never get around to doing it. Other people pick up on that quick. Other people that just get out there and start going, they may do something wrong every now and then, here, there, yonder, but they get going. Let me tell you this big secret. We're going to quit right now. It's easier, dear friend, to get a ship moving out in the big waters. It cranks up them engines. It can't crank up in the port. It's got to have a tugboat to get it here, to get it there. Many Christians are like that. You're still hooked to the shoreline. You've got tugboats pulling on you, pulling. The Lord wants you out there in the water so He can just get you going. You're going to have to let the world go and get busy with God. Brother Eric, we'll do that Sunday morning, okay? Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for this day. God, we ask that You please help us as we go our way to honestly look at the apostles and look at the disciples, the different parts of their lives, the characteristics they have, and how different they were. But Lord, when we get to the end, the Scripture says this: those that have turned the world upside down have come thither. Lord, people take note of those that are with Jesus. Help us as a church to always have You in the forefront. Let You increase in our wants and desires and our will to decrease, that You may get all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.